Father, as always, I thank you. Again, in the name of Jesus, for all of your goodness and all of your mercies towards your children. Hallelujah. We give you praise and give you glory, Lord. And this morning, as we continue in this series, we ask that you shine the light from your word into our hearts and give us understanding. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Welcome, everyone. I'm going right away into the wisdom pillar of prudence. Powerful topic. And I will be giving out many scriptures. And thanks for my scripture helpers who post in the chat room, because there's a lot for us to cover. First, I will give a definition of sorts of prudence. And again, some of it is taken from the dictionary. Some of it taken from, you know, people that I've heard. Some of it taken from the Holy Spirit. That's the best part of it. And then we'll put it all together. Then we will talk about, you know, prudence in the Bible. And also we will talk about some examples and some things, how to apply it in our lives. I mean, this thing is so deep. I pray that you engage the Lord in the Spirit and He will bless you. Praise the Lord. Now, here we go. Prudence is a pillar of wisdom. It's one of the pillars of wisdom. You'll find that in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 12. In Proverbs chapter 8 verse 12, we see wisdom is speaking and it says, I, wisdom. And so wisdom is speaking there. And he says, well, I dwell with prudence. So we see that right away, he calls out prudence as one of its pillars. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 12. Then we go on to look at some other things here concerning prudence. It is the quality of being cautious or exercising caution, exercising shrewdness, common sense, and circumspection as to danger or risk. I'll say that again. The quality of being cautious or exercising caution, shrewdness, common sense, and circumspection as to danger or risk. In fact, we find this something similar in Proverbs 22 and verse 3. Proverbs 22 verse 3 tells us that the prudent man or woman foreseeth the evil and hide himself, but the simple person and are punished. You know, so prudence is what will give you, you know, ability to see ahead danger and give you how understanding of how to avoid it. But the person that's not prudent, they'll just go along and plunder into trouble. So prudence is so powerful like that. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3. Again, it is the ability to govern oneself by the use of reasoning and to conduct oneself with knowledge. You'll find that concept, you know, indicated in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 16. The ability to govern yourself with knowledge. You say, every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth upon his folly. You know, so you can already see how powerful this prudence is. And I haven't even gotten to anything yet. Again, the quality of acting with care, concern, and thought for the future as it relates to time, health, work, career, education, family, marriage, etc. Prudence covers all of these things. In fact, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, the first 8 verses, it talks about it is, time for everything, time to do this and time to do that, a time for this and a time for that. It's only the prudent that will know how to manage those times and to recognize it's a time for everything. Somebody that's not prudent, they won't know it. You know, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 16, what does the scripture and Apostle Paul say here, even about our time? It's very important that we understand management of time. And we're going to talk about it in this series. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Well, only the prudent can do that. And we'll get to more of that in a bit. So we've covered, 4 definitions of prudence already. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Here is another good one. Now, as we go through this, I am trying to cover various definitions and, insights concerning prudence before we get into, some of the deeper parts of the lessons, Keep, thy heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. Only the prudent person can do that. So now let's take a look at more scriptures concerning prudence. In the book of, it may not use the word prudence directly, but when you pair it down with some of these other definitions, you will see that that's even prudence. Remember, we're talking in this case, the quality of exercising care, caution, and so forth. Even in Romans chapter 12, where it gives us certain things to warn us on how to do, where it talks of, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, and so forth. Only the prudent person will do that. Someone that's not prudent, they won't know how to do that. They won't even know how to keep their bodies. So prudence is a very powerful trait to have. Now, the ability to exercise good judgment in the use and management of your talent, your skills, and your resources. Now, that's prudence. There's a story in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. And it's also in other places. In that story, we see the story of the talents. There are different versions of this story, throughout the Gospels. But here, we see the story, Matthew chapter 25, starting at 14. How the talents were given out and how they managed these talents. Some of them managed it well, some didn't manage it well. But this is another rendition of prudence. The man traveling into a far country called the servants give them goods. One he gave 5, another 2, another 1, and so on. According to their several ability. Take note of that. And then he took his journey. Well, the one that had received 5 talents, he was prudent. So he went and traded and got 5 more. Likewise, the one that received 2, he was prudent. He went and gained 2 more. But the one that had received 1 was not prudent. So he buried his talents. And that's where burying your talents come from. And at the end of the day, it went well for the one that received 5 more. That's 100%. Likewise, the one that received 2 more, as 100%. They both got the same commendation. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You know, both of them got the same commendation. But unto the one that was not prudent and had hidden his talent instead of doing something with it, well, the end of it was not good. It was taken from him and given to the one that had 10 talents. And he says, for everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And from him that hath not shall be taken away from him even that which he hath. Now that's a serious problem, as I see it. If you don't have, and even what you think you have is taken from you because you are not prudent, that's a serious place to be. But he that hath and uses it prudently will get even more. So we see prudence, you know, has tremendous value. Now, every one of us are given some talents. This Bible story talks about talents. You know, many of us are even born with it. You're born with some talent. Sometimes it takes discovery, but you're born with it. You know, and if you find yourself, you know, gravitating towards something, you're naturally good at something, you have the affinity for something, it may be a talent. But it is your responsibility. Let me say that again. It is your responsibility to grow that talent. Do something with it. Like these people, they did something. Some of them did something with it. Another did nothing with it. It is your responsibility to grow that talent. Now, a young person may find out that they can sing. They can play the piano. They can play instruments. They just have, they're good with numbers. Or they can draw. They can paint. I mean, they can tell stories. I mean, they just somehow discover it. I mean, not because they learned it. They just find that they can do it. Now, what do? At that point then, they have to develop that talent into a skill. It starts out as a talent. It's given. It's already there at birth. And then later on, they find out they can do something, you know, but they now have to develop that talent. Now, if they find out that they can sing, maybe someday they are playing around with a little karaoke system or whatever in the house, and they find out they can actually sing, then they have to develop that talent into a skill. Practice, practice, practice. Maybe even take voice lessons and so on and so forth. You know, if it's an instrument that they find out they can play, then they have to develop that into a skill. Well, they maybe take musical instrument lessons, whatever it is, maybe piano lessons, you know, maybe they can play that, maybe it's a guitar, maybe they, I mean, some people just find out they can do these things. You know, other people who don't have that talent for these things, they struggle to learn and learn. And if they work hard enough at it, they might be able to do something. But they'll never be as good as the one that are naturally talented, who develop it into a skill. Now, the one that's naturally talented, if they don't develop it, they won't be any better than somebody who is just struggling to learn it. But if you have a natural talent and you learn how to develop it into a skill, you can become very good. Because you're already talented. Some people are talented in sports. They just have the ability. Maybe they can run fast. Maybe they can run long. But they have to develop these things. The more they train and train and train, the better they get. You know, and it may be a while in life before you actually discover the talent. You know, but once you discover it and you start to develop it, you might actually become very good, very good at it, you know. So, and parents must also help their children in developing their talent into a skill. You know, once it becomes a skill, now you know how to play the piano, you know, maybe it's the flute, maybe it's something else they can play, the violin or whatever. Then, you know, enough time goes along with that practice, you can develop that skill into competence. You become competent with it. You know, so you're no longer fumbling, and you can actually have confidence because you are now competent. You can go up on stage and demonstrate, you know, because you are now competent. Now, the next level after competence, if you work at it long enough, this may take years in some cases, can actually develop that into what we call expertise. You know, expertise. You actually become an expert in that thing. And if you work at being an expert long enough, you know, people might recognize you as an authority in the field. So you see the progression of how it goes from talent to skill, from skill to competence, from competence to expertise, from expertise to authority. And when you become an authority, you will be sought out. People will seek you out, you know, and that gives you an advantage in many cases. Well, the ability to also conduct your business with diligence is known as prudence. You will see in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29, it says, well, you know, anyone that is diligent in his business, that's somebody who's prudent, diligent in their business. They will stand before kings. They will not stand before mean men. So diligence and prudence will promote you. You become very good. People will recognize you to give you opportunities that you may not have had if you were not being prudent and being diligent. Well, it cuts across spheres. I mean, if you're a student, you need to be prudent and diligent in your studies. Can't be praying that God should help you when you're not learning, you know, and trying to do your assignments. But if you are diligent and you understand the time, you know, some young people are, you know, when they're trying to learn, some of their friends are trying to get them away from that. They say, oh, let's go out, let's do this and so forth. The foolish will go along, but the prudent, no. They will say no, and they spend their time in their studies. You know, people who are prudent in life, you know, and especially early on in life, they become, you know, better. They have an advantage later on in life. Now, here's another area of prudence. The ability to exercise tact, to be tactful in your relationship or your dealings with others. You know, that's also prudence. If you're not prudent, you just behave anyhow. And you may lack the skill of managing your relationships. So I'm going to mention some types of people that you should surround yourself with. Some types of people that you should avoid. This is also prudence. Prudence will tell you, you know, people to surround yourself with, build relationships with. Prudence will tell you people to avoid. Some people don't know these things. You know, it's not everybody that you need a company with. Some people are designed to drain you, you know, and they are toxic, you know, to you. And if you are not prudent, you won't recognize these things. You know, so now, prudence will also teach you how to define your boundaries with your friends, even in every relationship you have. People who are not prudent, they don't know how to define boundaries. When they are in a relationship and trying to get, you know, maybe get to get married, if they're not prudent, they don't know how to define the boundaries. They may fall into sin. If I take, for instance, a young woman, you know, who is in courtship with a young man, the young man is trying to persuade her to go into premarital, you know, sexual relationship. If she's not prudent and doesn't have her eyes wide open, she'll fall for that thing and, you know, they get into error. It may be the reverse also, you know. You need to also define even your relationship with your friends, in business, you know, among your brethren and things like that. Even those who are married, when you don't know how to define your boundaries, then you're going to fall into problems with others who are not your spouse. You know, if a man or woman doesn't know how to define their boundaries, you know, and they get involved, or they might get involved with somebody else who's not their spouse, because they are not prudent and they don't know how to define those boundaries. You know, so prudence will teach you how to define your boundaries. Prudence will also teach you how to be diplomatic when you're trying to resolve a matter. Even whether you are part of that, you know, conflict, or it's a conflict between other parties that you are trying to help resolve. Now, prudence also warns you that when something is going on that is none of your concern, you be careful how you try to get involved, because it might bite you. Some people don't know this, but it is, you know, also prudence that will teach you that. Now, here's what it says in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 17. He that passes by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by its ears. When you take a dog by its ears, what's going to happen? It's going to bite you, bite your hand. You know, and that's what will happen when you meddle in something that doesn't concern you. You know, so there are many lessons in this book of Proverbs, and this particular one is prudence. A prudent person will know when something is none of their concern, but somebody that is not prudent, it will butt into somebody that, I mean, something that doesn't concern them, and it will blow up in their face. It's not everything that you need to butt into. There's some things that doesn't concern you. Just move along, you know, if it doesn't concern you. Now, there are some times, though, now that's not to say if you see something, some wickedness happening. I'm not talking about that. If you see wickedness happening, it's our responsibility, especially if children are involved and things like that, it's our responsibility to defend the defendless. You know, but I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about, you know, say two grown people, you know, having an issue, an argument, and you're trying to get involved when they didn't invite you, you know, and it may blow up in your face. If you're prudent, you know how to handle that where it doesn't concern you too much. Now, there are times also the Holy Spirit will have to guide you, you know, when you are in your relationship and your affairs. You have to let the Holy Spirit guide you. Don't just go with human wisdom into everything, because sometimes it might blow up in our face. You know, so this wisdom that we're talking about is wisdom from above, not just earthly wisdom. There are some earthly elements, but mostly it's guided by the Holy Spirit and the scriptures. Now, here is prudence as well. Prudence gives you the ability to manage even some things that you can't normally avoid. For instance, if you are in a work environment, how do you manage some toxic relationship? You know, it's not all the time that you can avoid something. You know, I was talking about knowing who to avoid and so forth. Well, there are some times you can't avoid. You have to work with these people. You have to deal with them, and they are very toxic. How do you manage that? Well, I'm going to read something to you from the scriptures to show you how Jesus managed even rebellion. Powerful stuff in the life of Jesus. In John chapter 6 and verse 70, Jesus was talking about his disciples. And he said, look, have I not, chosen 12 of you, you know, and one of you is a devil? I mean, Jesus chose 12 and he said, one of you is a devil. And he knew it too, you know, but this devil was with him just like the others. And Jesus used it to his advantage. You know, How did Jesus use it to advantage? Well, Jesus needed somebody to betray him. So he had to choose a devil. A devil, somebody that was a devil on the inside. Because that was going to help meet the plans and eternal purposes of Jesus. So Jesus was using that to his advantage. And sometimes, if you know how you're prudent, you can actually use that to your advantage. Now, the ability to manage rebellion was demonstrated here in Jesus. Judas was already a rebellious person. Jesus knew it, but he was using it to his advantage. I mean, Jesus even mentored him. I mean, if you know that, Jesus mentored Judas. Judas was among the people that Jesus was training. The same things he was saying to Peter, James, and John, and the rest of them, he was saying to Judas. When he sent them out two by two and so forth, Judas was part of them. I mean, all the things that when he blessed the bread, I mean, the two loaves and five fishes and put it into the hands of the disciples to give to the crowd, Judas was one of them, you know. And just Jesus was mentoring this guy along with the rest of them, but he was using it to his advantage, you know, because he knew who would betray him, but he used it to his advantage. Now, great leadership. If you are really a great leader, then you will demonstrate this trait. You will have the ability to mentor even rebellion. The people that you are trying to train that turn against you, like Jesus was training Judas, he turned against him. Jesus knew how to mentor that. He knew how to deal with that and turned out to his advantage. He actually carried out the purpose. Unknown to Judas, Jesus knew everything that was going on. So it's an amazing trait, prudence. Jesus was prudent, had the ability to mentor that rebellion, and it made him a great leader. And he wasn't always calling Judas out. Once or twice he did, but he didn't always call him out. He knew he was there, he just left him alone. Praise God. You know, at the end, it will all manifest, you know. So there are some things you can't avoid. But by prudence, you can use it to your advantage. Certain situations. Now, prudence is also the ability, you know, for how you conduct your affairs, to manage your relationships, manage your affairs, the specifics of your relationship, specifics of your marriage, the specifics of your business. Some people are going into a business, but they are not prudent. When they are not prudent, they just reveal all their business plans to people who later become their competitors. And they will take those things and become your competitors. Because you're just spilling your secrets. But if you are prudent, you will hide that information from people. Some people are not prudent like that. They just put everything out there. Well, not everybody you talk to is your friend. You know, they may pretend. Prudence is also the ability to discern. Yeah, so people don't know how to discern. They don't have discernment. And when they're not prudent, a lot of people will take advantage of them. You know, so being prudent. Prudence will also show you how to manage your finances. You know, manage your time, manage your health. You know, there's a lot of things. So let's talk about manage your health, for instance. The ability to manage your health. It's important. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 talks about, you know, everything we do, we should do it to the glory of God. Even in eating and in drinking. Even when you eat and drink, according to 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, should do it to the glory of God. Well, many of us, the things we eat and put into our bodies do not glorify God. In fact, they're toxic, you know, so, and if it's toxic, then you can run into problems. I covered this a few months ago on this platform, and we talked about our health and our responsibilities, you know, and, you know, those of you who are in the medical field, you know that, you know, dietary factors may affect, you know, may create risks. You know, disease risks, many dietary factors. If you eat too much, for instance, you may become overweight. You may become obese, and you may be at risk for many heart diseases. I mean, these things are out there in the business, I mean, the medical world. Even the National Institutes of Health put these things on their website. You know, if you eat too much sugar, too much salt, have too much fat in your diet, and so on and so forth, you know, this can lead to many kinds of diseases. In fact, many kinds of medical treatments these days also look at your nutrition, you know, and lowering certain things, helping to control certain things may, you know, work together for a better health outcome. If you eat healthy, you know, may lower your risk for certain things, may lower your risk for heart disease, stroke, diabetes, other conditions. I mean, these are known medical things that they publish on medical sites. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nutritionist. This information I found on the website for National Institutes of Health. You know, a healthy heart, you know, plan that involves vegetables, fruits, whole grains, and so forth, fat-free or low-fat dairy, you know, and all that. These are the things that they say can promote, you know, good health. Poultry, fish, beans, eggs, you know, some certain kinds of eggs, some certain kinds of nuts. Some of them are good. Some of them are not good. Some of them, you know, saturated fats and these things and so forth. Some foods add extra sugar, extra sodium, extra this. All of these things, some of them are good, maybe good, some are not good, you know. And a prudent person would take time to understand and study what's good for their body. There are many other diseases and things like that, you know, that people get into because of bad eating habits and, you know, a bad lifestyle altogether. Anyway, it puts a burden on you, your family, your, you know, the your community, and even society when people get sick, you know. So if you can avoid it through better diet, then do it. A prudent person will pay attention to that. Now, the ability to manage your time. I've already talked about that. Invest your time wisely in preparing for your future, for the days are evil. You know, that means that the world is full of unfruitful distractions. That's what it means. According to Ephesians chapter 5, you know, it's, you know, the one we just read in verse 16. But if you read verses 15 to 17, you read it all, and you will see that the world is full of distractions that are unfruitful. You know, instead of spending your time in things that are fruitful, some people spend their time in things that are unfruitful, especially young people, you know. The time that they should be studying and working hard. I mean, the geniuses and the creators of tomorrow, they are busy today. I'll cover that when I get to knowledge. They are busy today learning and studying. You know, the ones that are going to be not do so well, they're busy today playing video games and do all these other things. And that's not going to help them. You know, those are distractions, you know. Likewise, even adult and grown people, they spend their time in things that just mean nothing. It's a complete waste of time. And just wasted. At the end of the day, if you look back, how did you spend the day? Analyze the day. How did you spend it? I mean, think of how you spent yesterday, for instance. Well, maybe 8 or 9 hours you spent at work. Maybe that's good. How do you spend the rest of the time? You know, so a prudent person will know how to manage their time. Now, when you have resources, I want to talk about managing your resources. This one is critical because of how many people run into problems. When God blesses you with more, most people, what do? They go out on a spending spree. There is a classical story that we see here in Luke chapter 15. We all call it the prodigal son. The prodigal son, he came into sudden inheritance. Well, how he got it is not a concern to me. People have always complained that this prodigal son was foolish in asking for his inheritance up front. No, I contend that he was not foolish. The Bible says you should ask and you will receive. So there was nothing wrong with him asking. As a matter of fact, the other brother refused to ask for anything and he got nothing. You know, so there is nothing wrong, and there was nothing wrong with the man asking for what belonged to him. We're told to ask so that we can receive. And if he asked and the father didn't give it to him, then he hasn't done anything wrong. If he asked and the father gave it to him, then he hasn't done anything wrong either. What was wrong was mismanagement of those resources. When his wealth suddenly increased, he went down to Sin City, you know, and squandered it all on riotous living, on harlots, on this and on that. You know, instead of conserving and investing the thing, he went and squandered it all. And then after he finished everything, then he began to be in want. Now, the good thing, though, was eventually he came back to his senses. But let's look at the time when he wasn't in his senses. You know, he was having a great time spending money, maybe being a hero, you know, just spending money for everybody and doing everything. And he had no prudence. He had no foresight. He had no knowledge. I mean, he wasn't using understanding of this money is going to run out. No matter how much money you have, you just keep spending it and nothing else is coming in. It's going to eventually run out. And many people, what do they do today when they get a raise? Get extra money. What do? They go on a shopping spree, buy up the town, go on, a vacation spree, spend everything, buy everything up, and they come back. And even sometimes they get into debt because they overspend. Something that started a blessing eventually turns into, you know, a curse. Because now you overspend and then you began to be in want. This was what happened to this guy. He now overspent and began to be in want. You know, and many people, when they are praying and asking God to help them and bail them out, the Lord will be saying, I already did, but you wasted it. You know, now every time, consider this, ladies and gentlemen, every time that the Lord gives you more than you need, it is for you to do like Joseph did. Joseph in Egypt, when he interpreted the dream of Pharaoh, he said, look, there's coming 7 years that we are going to have a whole lot more than what we need. A whole lot more. What are we going to do? Are we just going to squander it? Because as soon as you finish squandering it, the years of famine are coming. And then, what are you going to do in those years? So Joseph taught them how to save. He said, look, put away 20%. Now, that's a good lesson. You know, some people don't even know how to save. When something increases, they squander everything. And then when they finish, they begin to be in want. Joseph said, no, put away 20%. And if you don't have enough place to store it, you know, build more storehouses and store the 20% of the increase in the years of increase. And in the years of famine, then you already have something. Now, that's a good place to start. Some people don't have savings. The Bible says that the Lord will bless your breadbasket and your storehouse. Breadbasket is what you have for now. You're going to eat it off your table now. Your storehouse is for later. Now, people don't have a concept of that. Well, Joseph taught the world how to do that, and he saved the world. So every time you get more than you need now is for two or three reasons that most people don't consider. You know, God will always meet your needs. So God doesn't really need to give you more than you need. All he has to do is give you what you need. And he always does that. But the Lord always gives us abundance many times because he doesn't want us to just barely survive. Sometimes he wants us to thrive. The extra sometimes maybe for you to put away for the proverbial rainy day or help someone else. Help your family, you know, help your brethren, you know, or help somebody else, or help the work of the ministry. Now, but if you squander it all, and then you begin to cry out unto the Lord, and the Lord say, well, I already gave you more than you needed. What did you do with it? Because you have to give account for it. You know, so the ability to manage your resources is prudence. And a person that is not prudent will squander any increase that suddenly comes their way. And then later on, they'll be in trouble. Now, yeah, you know how to behave yourself wisely in all your ways. That's also prudence. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 14 that David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. He was prudent, you know, up until the point of Bathsheba and Uriah, which we covered yesterday. Now, here are four groups of people that you should surround yourself with if you are prudent. And then there are some four groups of people you should disengage from if you are not prudent. I mean, you know, that will use prudence to know who to surround yourself with. Use prudence to know who to disengage from. The people to disengage from are people who are not good for you. But let's look at the people that are good for you that you surround yourself with. You know, number one, those who know your weakness, but won't crucify you for those weaknesses. Who might an example of that be? The Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, number one. That's your number one person in your corner. He knows your weaknesses, you know, but he will strengthen you even in those weaknesses. He will not crucify you for that. Some people, they know your weakness, they'll crucify you over and over and over again for that. Now, a person who knows your weakness but won't crucify you for those. Now, that's number one. A person who knows your strength and will encourage you to grow in those strengths. Hallelujah. You know, so, and then number three, those who are where you want to be and are willing to help you get there. Sometimes they are called mentors. And number four, you know, those who fight your battle, have your back, even in your absence. And these are the kinds of people you need in your corner. Even when you're not there, they will fight for you. These are people you need in your corner. You know, now, these are people you do not want in your life. I'm going to tell you that now. People you need to disengage from. Number one, people that do not respect your values. Even in relationship, right? If the man you're going with or the woman you're going with does not respect your values for, you know, abstinence, then you should disengage for that person. Why? Because they are going to pull you down eventually. So somebody that does not respect your values, that's the first person you should disengage from. But how will they respect your values if they don't know what your values are? Well, that's why it says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5, let your moderation be known to all men. Communicate your values, where you stand. Communicate it up front in any relationship. Here's where I stand. These are my boundaries. If you don't, but if they don't respect those boundaries, get away from that relationship, because it's going to ruin you and destroy you. So that's a number one kind of person that you need to get away with. And you can expand that into many areas. They don't respect your values, get away from them. Negative critics is the number two type of person. A person that always focuses on your weakness only to stomp you down. They can't see anything good in you. All they see in you is what you do wrong. Get away from those people. They are not good for you. You know, so, you know, now somebody can be, you know, give positive criticism in order to help you, improve. Now that's different. You know, when you have a coach and you're in sports, they will give you positive criticism. They will try to, you know, they push you, they try to, you know, make you better. You know, they know your strengths and they pull it out of you and they won't let you slack off. You know, and those are good. But somebody who only focuses on your weakness to bring you down, you don't need that person in your corner. You don't need that person in your life. You know, here's another kind of person you want to get away from. The would-be destiny destroyers who are always envious of your progress. They don't care anything about you. And that's why you shouldn't tell them anything about yourself, because they will go out there and try to, you know, destroy you. Now, God will eventually protect your destiny because providence will protect your destiny. But, you know, you might suffer a lot along the way. You know, Joseph was always running off his mouth about his dreams, and he made his brothers to hate him even the more. They hated him already because his father liked him better than them. And when he told them the dreams, they hated him even more. He suffered a lot. Now, providence protected his destiny, but he suffered a lot. You know, so sometimes you need to get away from those would-be destiny destroyers. How do you recognize them? They are always envious about your progress. They don't celebrate your progress. They are envious. You know, people you need in your corner are people that celebrate your progress. Now, another group of people you need to get disengaged from are users. Users. Many of us have them in our lives. They are with you only for your goodwill, you know, and whatever influence you carry. They have no interest in your advancement, just their own, you know, and once they get what they want from you, they'll turn against you. They'll, you know, become your rival. They might call you only when you need you. Many of us have users in our lives. I mean, they'll never call you until they need something from you. You know, if you live in the United States or Canada or someplace abroad, we have users, you know, from our home country. You never hear from them until they need something. You know, now, God wants us to help people, but we have to have prudence. Some people call it wisdom, but it's prudence. You have to have prudence. Sometimes all of those asking for money, things and so forth, you know, that, you know, all those requests you get, it's a bottomless pit. You know, it can never end. It can never be satisfied. There are many things that are not satisfied. The scripture says, well, users are like that. They'll always want something and they don't really care about you, but they're there only to siphon from you whatever they can gain from you. These are people you need to disengage from. Again, let me go through quickly. People to disengage from. Stay away from people who do not respect your values. But you must communicate your values. Philippians 4 and 5. Stay away from negative critics, you know, who only focus on your weakness. And they never see anything good in what you do. Number 3, stay away from would-be destroyers who are always envious of your progress. Number 4, stay away from users who don't care anything about you, but only what they can get from you. And when they finish getting it, they stomp you down, become your rival, or stab you in the back. Now, the people you should surround yourself with, those who know your weakness but won't crucify you or those weaknesses, but will try to help you to overcome them. That's number one, people. That's the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. And that's what he does. Number 2, those who know your strengths and will encourage you to grow in those strengths. That's your coach, you know. Number 3, in those who are already where you want to be and they are willing to help you get there. Those are your mentors. Number 4, a person has always got your back, even when you're not there. You know, somebody who's saying something about you when you're not there, they got your back. Even when you are not there. They're not there just for, you know, face service or how they say it. Whether you are there or not, they got your back. Those are the kinds of people you need in your corner. Now, let's go through some benefits of prudence according to the scriptures. Now, in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 18, you know, prudence will endow you with knowledge. The four scriptures I want to give for that. And I'm going to go through them quickly. In Proverbs 14 and verse 18. In Proverbs 13 and verse 16. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 15. And in Hosea chapter 14 and verse 9. And I'm going to read through some of them quickly. You know, because these are important. These are some of the benefits, according to the scriptures, of prudence. Hallelujah. So let's pay attention. You know, the prudent, we're told, are crowned with knowledge. So, that's Proverbs 14 and 18. Prudence will bring endowment of knowledge into your life. How about Proverbs 13 and verse 16? It says that a prudent man will deal with knowledge. So you see that, you know, knowledge, and we're going to come into knowledge, powerful pillar when you get there. A prudent man always is endowed with knowledge. And some of these pillars, they actually overlap. So that's Proverbs 13 and verse 16. You know, what about Proverbs 18 and verse 15? Now, take note to some of these benefits of prudence is what we're talking about here now. You know, a prudent man, this particular line of benefit is that a prudent person is endowed with knowledge. That's what I'm bringing out in these scriptures. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. The ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. So a prudent man is endowed with knowledge. Well, you jump to Hosea chapter 14 and verse 9. You see, you know, some of the same things being said about prudence and knowledge. Who is wise and shall understand these things? Who is prudent and shall know them? So the prudent man always knows things. So those are four scriptures that show you that a prudent man will be endowed with knowledge. You know, also understanding. You'll find that in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 8. A prudent man will also get understanding. So some of the benefits. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. You know, that's prudent. A prudent man considereth everything. He doesn't just shoot from the hips, like they say. Considers everything and he will gain understanding. He will look before he leaps, is what people say. But I say look carefully, not just look. Look carefully before you leap. You know, so these are some of the things that prudence will do for us. Now, what about even promotion? Can you believe that prudence can build you, bring you promotion? Well, absolutely. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 13. Prudence can actually bring you promotion. And before we get into through this series, you know, I'm going to talk to you about many things and how people can get ahead with some of these pillars of wisdom. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently, Isaiah 52 and 13. And because of him dealing prudently, he shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. So we see that prudence can bring you, you know, into promotion, be extolled and be very high. Now, because this man was dealing prudently. When I was talking about the Lord, but if you read between the lines, you'll see what prudence can do for you. Prudence can cause you to have great influence. You know, see thou a man that is prudent, diligent in all his business. That's Proverbs 22:29. He shall have influence. You know, can stand before kings and not before mean men. You know, prudence will cause you to escape from danger or evil. Proverbs 22 and verse 3. Prudent man foreseeth the evil and hides himself. Prudence will give you the capacity to cover shame even. If you are prudent, you know, you got their backs. You're not going to expose them. You know, it's not that we condone evil, but you are prudent and you will help to. It's Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 16. He says that, you know, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. So prudence, you know, teach you how to cover. You know, Jesus is called, you know, the King's Man Redeemer, and he can cover us with the borders of his garments. A prudent man covereth shame. Hallelujah. You know, but a fool will just spill his mouth anyhow. Now, what about a prudent wife? Well, Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 14 says, a prudent wife is from the Lord. You know, so if I have a prudent wife, my goodness, that's from the Lord. Now, if you, unfortunately, have a wife that is not prudent, that's going to be problematic. And we're going to cover some more of that when we get into some other pillars. And I often say, look, if you marry the right person, you get for yourself a prayer partner for your life. But if you marry the wrong person, whether they are a woman or man, you have for yourself a prayer point for your life. You'll be a prayer point instead of a prayer partner. Prudence will teach you, you know, to look diligently to your business. You know, examine those relationships. Look for the red flags. People who are not prudent, when the Lord, we'll talk more about this when we get into sound judgment. But when the Lord is, the Holy Spirit is, you know, showing them those red flags, cautioning them, they don't pay attention. Now, let me quickly talk about red flags that the Holy Spirit can show and give us. You know, when we were dealing with the Holy Spirit a few weeks ago, I reminded people to not be saying something said to me, but recognize that the Holy Spirit are checking you. But sometimes the Holy Spirit will check us. We check you. I mean, some people say, well, I felt in my gut. You know, something told me. Well, no. For you, if you're a believer, you have a Holy Spirit, that's a Holy Spirit that's walking with you. It's not something. You know, but when the Holy Spirit checks you inside your gut and you don't pay attention, you know, those are some red flags. Some people see certain things and they don't pay attention. They have not learned how to exercise their senses to discern that checking of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is checking you like that, you know, but when you are prudent, you will have your antennas up. You will be discerning, you know, and you will understand. You will look well. You understand. You don't have to be suspicious. Suspicion is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. But discerning of spirit is. You know, Holy Spirit will help you to be discerning. And because you are prudent, you look at things carefully. You rightfully discern that situation. Now, that's prudence. A prayer that we are going to pray today is going to be, Lord, give me this pillar of wisdom, which is called prudence. You know, let my life be filled with an abundance of wisdom and prudence, that I may know how to keep myself from evil. Let me read to you something that Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, you know, he's talking about, you know, God you know, did all these things for us in Christ. And in verse 8, he says, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the wisdom, the mystery of his will, and so forth. So God even wants us to have wisdom. We talked about Christ being the wisdom of God yesterday. And prudence. You know, prudence. So be prudent in all your ways. Don't just be naive. A person that is not prudent, the opposite of that is they are naive. They're just naive. You just take everything at face value. But they are not prudent to discern it. Jesus talked about being wise as a serpent, but harmless as doves. You know, that's being prudent. You know, you don't always have to reveal your hand. Sometimes you hide your hand, especially when you are around the devil. A devil is people that don't care for your good. All they are there is to bring you down. What do you want to tell them your plans for? You know, people who don't believe anything you say, they will find a way to contradict it. They are distractions. Get away from distractions in your life. Now, we have only one life to live, folks. Don't spend, you know, majority of your life dealing with distractions. Cut them loose. And let me talk to you about anchors. An anchor is good sometimes, but an anchor may be bad sometimes. Now, when you need an anchor, when a ship needs an anchor, when they've come to dock and they need an anchor, you know, an anchor is good, you know. But sometimes when you're trying to set sail and the anchor is still holding you back, you got to cut it loose. There are some things we need to cut loose. There are some bad anchors that may be in your life. It may be some bad habits that you yourself have developed. You need to cut it loose. It's holding you down. It's not letting you set sail. It's not letting you fly. There may be also some bad anchors in your life. People say, well, you can't do that. Who says that? Says who? That's what I always say. They say, you can't do that. I say, says who? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, I never take the deal of you can't do that. That's not me. Philippians 4 and 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And remember, Paul didn't say Christ can do all things through me. That's not what he said. We know that already. You know, he said Christ can do all things through me. Or Christ can do all things. That's not what he said. But say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you got to see that's a winner's attitude. You know, and so anything in your life that's a negative anchor, you need to cut them loose. And a prudent person will know how to cut them loose. I can go on and on and on and on. And maybe I will say some more, you know, interleaved with the reactions. But I want to give time for people to talk and give reactions. But here is a summary of what we have said today in prudence. Prudence has many characteristics, you know, and many of them, they look like wisdom in a case because that's really what it is. You know, quality of being cautious and exercising caution, quality of being shrewd, using common sense, knowing and being circumspect in the face of danger and risk. That's all prudence. Knowing how to govern yourself with the use of reasoning, conduct yourself with knowledge. That's all prudence. Acting with care, concern, thought for the future, looking before you leap, looking well before you leap. That's all prudence. Exercising good judgment in the management of your talent, growing your talent into a skill, your skill into competence, growing the competence to expertise, growing your expertise until you become an authority in the field. All these things are prudence. Now, the ability to conduct your business, the ability to exercise tact in your relationships, you know, and knowing the types of people to surround yourself with, knowing the types of people to disengage from. And if you cannot disengage, sometimes you can't, then find a way to use it to your advantage. That's what Jesus did. He used Judas to his advantage. You know, so that's prudence. You know, if you are prudent, you will see the hand that the enemy, the would-be destroyers are trying to play you. And prudence will give you a way to turn it to your advantage. If you are prudent, you will behave yourself wisely in all your ways. If you are prudent, you will not walk in offense. You know, Paul, you know, in Acts chapter 24 and verse 16, I didn't give you this earlier. I'm just reminded to say that one now. Paul talked about he walking in prudence and being void of offense. You know, he says, look, herein do I exercise myself. Always have a conscience void of offense toward God and man. Remember, we covered that when we did the attributes of wisdom at the beginning. Being pure and void of offense. Well, that's prudence. Prudence is he exercising himself. He deliberately. Anytime you take deliberate action, you know, to create a better outcome, that's prudence. You know, so I say that again. Anytime you take deliberate action to create a better outcome, that's prudence. You know, so when you take deliberate action to exercise yourself to make sure you have no offense towards anybody, you are being prudent. Hallelujah. You know, so these are all the attributes of prudence. And we covered even the, I'll cover this more later on, the parable of the wise virgins. They used prudence to foresee the situation and to manage their resources. I'm going to cover this more when I get to sound judgment. But because some of these things overlap, let me just say it here. They were able to say, no, this is not going to be enough for us and you. That's prudence. They were able to foresee the situation, know that it's going to be a long journey. The bridegroom may tarry. And even when he comes, it may be a long night. We may need more. So they say, well, we don't have enough. You know, you go get for yourself. That's prudence. You know, somebody who is not prudent will be naive. People who are not prudent, they don't know how to manage their resources. You know, somebody else's lack of planning does not need to become your own emergency. The foolish virgin's lack of planning did not need to become the emergency of the wise virgins. They said, no, go figure it out. Some people don't know how to say no. They think that if you say no, that means you don't have love. You know, but Jesus is the one that told this story. And Jesus commended the wise virgins because they knew how to say how and when to say no. That's prudence. If you don't say no, you don't know how to say no because you want everybody to think that you have love. You are not being prudent. That's a time for everything. That's a time to say yes. That's a time to say no. God himself sometimes says no. You know, and there's times he says yes. Many times he says yes. Sometimes he'll say no when he knows it's not for your good. You know, so, you know, these are the things that we need to learn. And finally, also the ability to manage both your time and your health. Remember that even concerning eating and drinking, Jesus gave a warning in Luke 21 and verse 34. He said, look, too much overeating and overdrinking and just carelessly surfeiting and drunkenness may have even spiritual consequences. The day may come upon you unawares because of eating and drinking. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. Luke 21 and 34, and so that day come upon you unawares. Wouldn't it be sad that somebody would miss the rapture because of surfeiting and drunkenness? Well, You know, so Jesus is even telling you that be moderate in everything, even in eating and drinking. Now, I'm going to pray over the room. That's been a long lesson already, and that's enough said. Lord, I pray that these things that we have heard and learned today, that you will inspire our hearts to understand how to apply prudence in our lives. How to even cover shame. Said a prudent man has the capacity to cover shame. How to look well so that we can avoid danger. A prudent man foresees the evil. How to be diligent in our business. A prudent man will stand before kings. And how to deal with knowledge. Prudent will deal with knowledge. Lord, all these things we pray that you will help us to understand. And our life will be filled with wisdom and with prudence to keep ourselves from the evil. Give us also prudence in managing our time, our health, and especially our resources. To know what to do when the Lord gives us increase. Show us, Lord, how to save for the rainy day. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.